This is the Healthy Worship Team podcast, and I'm your host, Julie Engler. If you're a worship leader who's ready to get to the next level, whether it's to help your team thrive as your church grows, become a stronger leader yourself, or to add more creativity to what you do, you're in the right place. I've spent the last 20 years leading worship, and I want to share with you the best of what I've learned. I know you've got the talent. I know you've got the calling. Now let's talk about everything else. Hey guys, today I want to tell you my story, how I got started in worship ministry, and why I'm so passionate about building healthy worship teams today. So I grew up in a local church setting in my hometown with a really sweet, family-oriented church full of people who loved God. There was always a big emphasis on worshiping the Lord and following the Word of God with authenticity, with joy, and it was a really great way to grow up. I did not have a lot of experience with people who were in ministry as a career. The only people that I know about that were on staff growing up at my church were the senior pastor, maybe the financial pastor, maybe a receptionist, maybe a couple other part-time roles, but I didn't have any concept about having a career in ministry. What I did have was lots of people who followed the Lord, who took care of their families, and who helped one another to grow in their giftings. As a young age, I loved to worship God, even with the adults. And starting around 8, 9 years old, I would have adults start to encourage me and say, "Hey, you have a beautiful voice. You need to keep singing." Or they would see me pursuing God and they would encourage that. My reading my Bible, praying for somebody, whatever it was. There was a lot of organic, natural encouragement through people who loved God and served the Lord from a really authentic place. It was a beautiful way to grow up. It was easy for me to recognize that I had a calling to serve the Lord. I did not know what that was supposed to look like. In the, you know, mid-90s, there were not worship teams and worship artists. There were CCM artists and there were missionaries in my head. And so when people would say, "Do you want to do music?" I would say something like, "I want to sing and I want to sing on a stage and I want to worship God, but I also want to talk to people and encourage them." That was my like simplified version of being in ministry. And I'm sure at that time, I know there were other churches and people who were much more informed and involved in the cutting edge of what was happening in ministry, but I was not. I was just a kid in a small church who knew that they were called to serve the Lord. Fast forward after high school, I went straight to ministry school, one that was close by in Texas. And that time at ministry school really helped strengthen the call on my life, really helped develop my heart and character to prepare to serve the church. And it was a beautiful formative time. I actually met my husband there. He also is a worship pastor, and we served together. We have served together from that point up until now. That time was a really special time in my life. I got to dig into the Word. I got to dig into some leadership principles, and also spend a lot of time practicing the presence of God, practicing leading worship. And I say practicing, not like we were doing it for pretend, but that we spent a lot of time worshiping the Lord, whether it was on very small platforms or very large platforms for 1,200 to 2,000 people on a daily basis. And so I learned a lot of things practically and in real time about how rehearsals work, how teams are set up and organized. And after Bible school, my husband and I moved back to my hometown, got married, and started serving back in my local hometown church. And for a while, I served on the team, and I really focused on building our family and, you know, just creating a life together. So I wasn't super worried about being a leader or having a position. I just served on my worship team and took care of my family and got plugged into our church. fast forward about, let's see, 2008 to 2016. So that was, what, 8 years of just being a regular, being a normal Christian worshiper who has a gift, who gives their gift to their church, serving, building family. And then in 2016, our beautiful church, we had a new leader come on board, a new senior pastor. And that was a really peaceful and Holy Spirit-led transition. The church as a whole knew that it was time for change. And so, but we didn't really know how to change. We didn't really know what needed to change. We just knew that change needed to happen. And so through the church searching for a new pastor and God really orchestrating that, we got a new senior pastor who was everything we needed. It was everything we needed. We had the heart. We had a really great foundation. We had a solid foundation on the Word of God and an emphasis on glorifying the Lord, on worshiping the Lord. And, but there were some things that we couldn't really figure out why we weren't growing the way that there was a heart and a desire to, from the whole leadership wanted to see our church grow and continue to be strong and resilient and able to see the lost saved and more things happen. And none of that was really capable. We weren't capable of stepping into that new season until we had that senior leadership change. And I just want to say real quick, the senior pastor that was the senior pastor before that change was an incredible and still is an incredible man of integrity. He is a kind and humble leader, and he did a wonderful job leading our church. And he also did a wonderful job recognizing when it was time for a season change. We can dive into that later. I'll use a whole episode talking about what it looks like to hand something off and to let God lead that timing instead of holding on for dear life. So I just want to say that real quick, that whole process was very beautiful to watch. Even when it's done very, very well, all change can be difficult. But here's what happened. In 2016, when we had that new pastor come, it was like everything that the Lord had been preparing me for, it all came into focus, and I recognized very clearly that the calling on my life, the giftings and desire to lead, to bring a new vision in, all of that was for this moment. It was a big deal in my life. It was a very powerful season because there were some dreams that I had allowed God to have me wait on. I was patient and said, okay, Lord, I want to see these dreams come to pass. I want to, like what I said when I was a kid, I want to sing and I want to talk to people. I want to encourage them, all those things. And I hadn't really felt that I had had a lot of opportunity to do that. What the opportunity that I did have was to take care of my family, was to be a small group leader, was to be a great vocalist and worship leader on the team. But at this point was a huge turning point in the life of our church and in my life specifically. I knew exactly why I had been brought back home. I knew exactly why God had brought me back to my hometown, into my home church of about 150 people. And it was so that when this new leader came, our new senior pastor came, that I could help him bring the church into a new season. And I was 100,000% all in. And I told my pastor, I said, I am 100% all in. I didn't need him to, give me the what for, tell me all the things, prove I knew God had spoken to me and I was there ready to help carry the load with him and build a new season for our church and to bring in new vision. It was time for huge change and I was ready to help implement that change. And I knew that there were some things because I was part of what had been there before. My husband was the worship pastor, and he was leading that, and our hearts were right, And we had had all this training, and yet still we couldn't get to where we were hoping to get as a church. And we knew that we needed to move to a new season, but we didn't know how. And that's when our pastor helped us know what needed to change. And so one of the trip ups that I had was I would constantly think that I needed to work on my talent or my skill, or that I wasn't hearing from God enough, or I wasn't spiritually attuned enough. That's what was missing from moving us into a new season. And once we had our leadership change, I was able to recognize that all of those things were set. Like, I was just thinking, gifted enough. Maybe we're not, I don't know enough music theory. We don't have the right resources. We don't have the right equipment. Maybe that's why we're not growing. Our team, our worship team, had about 11 people, great people, and they were serving every single week. We were doing one service every Sunday. We had done two services for a little while and then went back down to one service. And there was just no way we didn't know how to bring new team members on. It would take a long time to bring new team members on. And one of the things that I learned really quickly from my pastor was that I had enough talent. I had built enough of a foundation with the Lord. What I needed to do was to learn how to be a leader. And I remember him saying, "Julie, you know how to do all this. And Chris and I, my husband and I, we could spend hours worshiping the Lord. We had spent time in ministry school leading worship for hours in multiple different contexts. But I didn't know how to get the team to come with me. And I didn't know how to get the team to come with me so that the congregation could join in." And so we started recognizing that it was time to do some work on the structure of how we lead our team so that everything could grow. My heart was right. I had what it took. You know, we weren't missing on any of those things. We needed to stop and reevaluate how we were leading our team and where our team was at, and how we were called not just to be worship leaders, not just to be singers on a platform, and not just leaders to the congregation, but we were called to pastor and to lead our team. And the better we could do that, the better we were going to be able to move forward as a team. Not just the team, but I know if I'm talking to worship leaders right now, you guys know that it's not just about the worship team. And we'll get into this in other episodes, but you know that the reason why it's so important is because the worship team is one part of the organism of the church. It's very important. And if the worship team and that whole, everything we do to function, to serve the service, to serve our pastor, to serve, to steward the presence of God, to encourage the body, to create that gathering space, everything we do will help everything get better if we'll do our part. I know that if I was talking to a children's pastor or I was talking to an executive pastor, I could say the same thing for their areas about how vital and important their role and their department, their part of the body. It's very, very important. But here's the thing, as worship pastors and as worship leaders, we don't have responsibility over anything other than our area. Our job is what we oversee, but also what we oversee will affect everything else. And so it was so important for us to understand that it wasn't just about how talented we were. It wasn't just about how incredible a moment in worship could be. And it didn't even matter if we felt it. If no one else could follow us, what was the point? If our team didn't know where we were going and so they couldn't support that moment, or if the congregation was like, "Well, that was awesome, but I have no clue what was happening there." There was that disconnect there. And so we immediately started learning. I started learning that I needed to make a change from becoming a solo pioneer, which was my whole youth, was I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to go where no one else wants to go. I'm not going to worry about if everybody's coming with me. I want all that I have of God. I want to pursue serving God in ministry. That was a solo pioneer thing. I needed to make a change from being a solo pioneer to becoming an expedition leader. I needed to learn how to navigate for the team. And so instead of just running and blazing on ahead, I had to stop and realize that I was leaving people behind and losing effectiveness in my ability to lead. And so that was a huge, that was the light bulb flipped on in 2016. And that is when I took a staff level leadership position for our worship team and started implementing some really large change for our team. And it's been from then until 2023 that I have worked on that. And we've seen some incredible things happen. But the light bulb turned on in 2016, but the work that was involved could not be fast forwarded. It could not be sped up. It was not something that I could zoom through just by understanding the concept. There's a huge difference between getting the concept and practicing the principle. That practice, you just can't speed that up. You literally have to do it one step at a time, one decision at a time, one conversation at a time, one worship set at a time. And I just want to encourage you, worship leaders, that if you're listening to this and you're resonating with any of the things that I struggled with or the upbringing that you had, some of the disconnect, I just want to encourage you. Sometimes it can be overwhelming when you realize what needs to change and how you need to move forward. But there's two important things to know. Number one is time is going to pass anyways. So for you to make small implementing steps toward the change that you want is better than just letting the time pass and keeping an old pattern going. Don't be overwhelmed by how much needs to change when you have today and you have options today to make small, powerful changes. And the second thing that you need to know is that as you change, you're going to grow in confidence. Some of the biggest things that you're fearful of, whether it's how people will respond to a change, whether it's the fear of failing or losing something that's valuable to you, those fears diminish as you face them and as you move toward them. So be encouraged in that. I'm going to take time on this podcast breaking down many different concepts and principles that I've learned over the last over 20 years, and then the concentrated leadership growth experience that I had from 2016 until 2023. We went from a team of about 11 people. We had about three or four people on our tech arts team. We had one service. Our church had 150 on a good day per week at our one service. That was in 2016 or 2015. Now we're at three services. We are over 700 people per weekend. We have over 40 people on our worship team. We serve three services every Sunday, and we have two to three team members deep in every position. So, and we have more people joining the team every single semester. We also have some of the larger church health things. This is a larger part of what's happened overall in our church, which has been really beautiful. But we have over 60% of our church volunteers, which is like hugely, insanely high compared to national averages of volunteers. We have been able to do special services, special nights of worship. We have gone from two main worship leaders to seven worship leaders now. And we just in the last couple of years have been able to write and record and produce two original songs for the church, recorded live by our own team. And this is in a small town in East Texas. We've got songs that are out on Spotify and all of those things now. And that is like super, super cool. One of the thoughts that I had at the very beginning when I started like really recognizing that the dreams God had put in my heart, I'd kind of held them back and thought, okay, I'll go home, I'll serve in my little church. And then one day when I finally get the chance, I'll pour those dreams out. I'll sow the seeds of that dream when I have a better opportunity to do that. And I'll never forget when God spoke to me and said, Julie, those dreams are for here right now. Do not hold anything back. You will not be able to have bigger dreams if you hoard these right now. And this thought came to me, which is very core to who I am as a person, which is, why should I think that God only moves in a large city or a large church? Why do I think that those things are only available to people who seem to have it all together? That could not be farther from the truth. God is moving in your town. He is moving in your church. He is using your gift of service and your leadership to bring in the kingdom where you are. And I want to encourage you, I want you to hear me, worship leader, where you are right now, you have impact, you are valuable, you are called, you are needed, you are a necessary part of the body of Christ. You do not need to go get a better, bigger job. You do not need a famous worship leader to know your name. You do not need a label to sign you. You do not need that new equipment in order to achieve what God has called you to do. You have everything you need right now to be the best worship leader that God has called you to be. And I am so grateful. I'm honored to be able to speak to you, to encourage you. I hope that this podcast reaches the right ears. I hope that this podcast is a huge voice of hope, of encouragement. I hope that it infuses you with courage. I hope that it helps you let go of insecurity and let go of fear of failure so that you can move forward in the vision that God has for you and for your church. And that is my prayer for you today. I'm excited about what I'm going to get to bring you on this podcast. I can't wait to see how God's going to use it for His glory. And I plan to release podcast episodes twice a week for the next several weeks to get this going. So I'm so excited. I hope you guys have an amazing week, and I'll see you soon.